She left me, afraid that if she didn't, I'd be the kill that turned her into a monster, and set out into the world to find some way to cope. I told myself that she had good reason to do so, but reason and heartbreak don't speak the same language. I'd never really forgiven myself for what had happened to her. I guess reason and guilt don't speak the same language either. It was probably a damn good thing I had gone into shock, because I could feel emotions that were stirring somewhere deep inside me, gathering power like a storm far out to sea. I couldn't see them, I could only feel their effects. But it was enough to know that whatever was rising inside me was potent, violent, dangerous. Mindless rage got people killed every day, but for me, it might be worse. I'm a professional wizard. I can make a lot more things happen than most people. Magic and emotions are tied up inextricably. I've been in battle before and felt the terror and rage of that kind of place, where it's a fight just to think clearly through the simplest problems. I'd used my magic in those kinds of volatile circumstances, and a few times I'd seen it run wild as a result. When most people lose control of their anger, someone gets hurt. Maybe someone even gets killed. When it happens to a wizard, insurance companies go broke and there's reconstruction afterward. What was stirring in me now made those previous feelings of battle rage seem like anemic kittens. "I've gotta talk to someone," I heard myself say quietly. "Someone with some objectivity, perspective. I've gotta get my head straight before things go to hell." Mac leaned on the bar and looked at me. I cradled the glass in my hand and said quietly, "You remember Susan Rodriguez?" He nodded. "She says that someone took our daughter. She says she'll be here late tonight." Mac inhaled and exhaled slowly. Then he picked up the bottle and poured himself a shot. He sipped at it. "I loved her," I said. "Maybe love her still. And she didn't tell me." He nodded. "She could be lying," he grunted. "I've been used before, and I'm a sucker for a girl." "Yes," he said. I gave him an even look. He smiled slightly. "She'd be 6, 7. I shook my head. "I can't even do the math right now." Mac pursed his lips. "Hard thing." I finished the second glass. Some of the sharper edges had gotten softer. Mac touched a finger to the bottle, watching me. I shook my head. "She could be lying to me," I said quietly. "If she's not, then..." Mac closed his eyes briefly and nodded. "Then there's this little girl in trouble," I said. I felt my jaw clench, and the storm inside me threatened to come boiling up. I pushed it down. "My little girl." He nodded again. "Don't know if I ever told you," I said. "I was an orphan." Mac watched me silently. "There were times when it was bad, when I wanted someone to come save me. I wished for it so hard, dreaming of not being alone. And when someone finally did come, he turned out to be the biggest monster of all." I shook my head. "I won't let that happen to my child." Mac folded his arms on the bar and looked at me intently and said, in a resonant baritone, "You've got to be very careful, Harry." I looked at him, shocked. He'd used grammar. "Something like this will test you like nothing else," Mac said. "You're going to find out who you are, Harry. You're going to find out which principles you'll stand by to your death, and which lines you'll cross." He took my empty glass away and said, "You're heading into the Badlands. It'll be easy to get lost." I watched him in stunned silence as he finished his drink. He grimaced, as though it hurt his throat on the way down. Maybe he'd strained his voice using it so much. I stared down at my hands for a moment. Then I said, "Steak sandwich and something for the pooch." He grunted in the affirmative and started cooking. He took his time about it, divining my intentions with a bartender's instincts. I didn't feel like eating, but I had a little time to kill while the buzz faded. He put my sandwich down in front of me, then he took a bowl with some bones and some meat out to Mouse, along with a bowl of water. I ate my sandwich and idly noted that Mac never carried food out to anyone. Guess he was a dog person. I ate my sandwich slowly and paid Mac. "Thanks," I said. He nodded. "Luck." I got up and headed back for the car. Mouse followed beside me, his eyes lifted, watching me to see what I would do. I marshaled my thoughts. I had to be careful. I had to be wary. I had to keep my eyes open. I had to keep the storm inside me from exploding, because the only thing I knew for certain was that someone, maybe Susan, maybe my enemies, was trying to manipulate me. Either way, Mac was right. I was heading into the Badlands.